Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
Welcome to church. My name is Rob, lead pastor here at Salem Alliance, and we are in week two of our Reach series. We are celebrating all of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. And I'm glad that you are here with us today. If you were here last week, there was some energy in the room. There was dancing. There were many languages being spoken. It was an awesome time. Last week, pastors Adela and Doug brought the word of God to us. They talked about all of Jesus. They talked about the living water that he offers. And we looked at the story of the woman at the well. Jesus, our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. If you missed it, just want to encourage you to go back and check it out on live stream, online. They spoke with such authority last week, and it was just an amazing place to be. Last week, we also took a survey, and a lot of you were able to take that survey. Thank you to the over 1,200 of you that completed that survey, either the paper copy you received or you followed the QR code. If you weren't here last week, we took this survey to just learn a little bit more about our church, our demographics, our age. We are becoming more and more a multi-ethnic congregation, and we just wanted to collect some of that stuff. If you weren't here, you can still take the survey. There'll be a QR code here, and we'd love for you to do that. But some of the preliminary findings that we just thought were pretty cool, want to share with you. One of the things is we speak fluently over 30 languages as a church body, which is pretty cool. If we all traveled together, we could get around pretty well if we traveled the world. I don't know how to make that happen. I don't know if there's a travel agent in town that wants to take 2,000 or 3,000 people on a worldwide trip. We could do that. That'd be a lot of fun. I'm going to get in trouble for just going off script here. But anyway, also want to let you know, it affirmed that we are an incredibly multi-generational church. I mean, just look around. This is true. And there is such a beauty in that. There's such a beauty, and this doesn't even include, I mean, this, some of our middle schoolers and high schools took the survey, but our little ones didn't. But we just represent all the generations. In fact, we ran even just our database against Salem's most recent census. In like every generation, we were within like 2 percentage points. We celebrate the multi-generational nature of Salem Alliance Church, that we get to gather together, learn from one another. And so we might do some things that some generations don't care for, but other generations do, and vice versa. And we come back to that. We want you to be happy and comfortable 80% of the time. 20% of the time, we want you to understand that's probably something another generation is loving right now in the room. We also realize that we are growing in ethnic diversity as we thought. In fact, we're only a few percentage points away from reflecting really what our ethnicity of our city of Salem looks like. And so we celebrate all these things. We celebrate also, we didn't do a survey of this, but we know we are becoming more and more representative of the socioeconomic diversity that makes us up as a city. As well, as we talk about here, we are unified and we don't all have the same political viewpoints in this room. Can you believe it? And the beauty of that is so attractive to our city. Our city looks at Salem Alliance and they're like, they can't fit us into a box. And they're just amazed by that. But we know that one of the keys, the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to bring unity among our difference. And so we stand under the banner of Jesus, representing the nations, representing different political things, representing all ages. And we come together in unity with a vision to see peace in our city. And friends, it's working. Thank you for playing a role in it. Thanks again for taking that survey. Hey, this week in week two of our Reach series, we are looking at what it means for all of Jesus to go to all of the world. And we're looking at this concept of all the world. In John 3, it's a very familiar verse, but I want to start there today. It says this, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." Everyone who believes. This offering is for the entire world. All are eligible to receive this gift, the free gift of the living water that we talked about last week. Paul picks up this passage in Romans 10, and here he is repeating this challenge to the church in Rome, and he says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him if they do not believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. We believe that Paul's challenge 2,000 years ago still extends to us today, which is why we continue to send people to the ends of the earth with the message of Jesus. We recognize that the landscape of Christianity looks very different than it did in Jesus' day or even Paul's day. This message of the gospel took root there in the Middle East and North Africa and Asia Minor, and this is where kind of the center of Christianity was born in those first centuries. It began to move a little bit west into Europe, and this became the new center of Christianity. And over time, it even began to expand into Canada and the United States, which many would say in the 70s and 80s was probably the center of Christianity. And yet we stand here today and we celebrate that the new center of Christianity has migrated down to the global south, where God is moving in profound ways in Africa and South America and Southeast Asia. The church is vibrant. It is growing. It is expanding. Throughout history, wherever the church has taken hold, it has been missional. It continues to spread far, new places, because our God is a pursuing God. His reach is long, and he invites his church to bring the message of the truth of Jesus everywhere. Last week, we looked at this incredible story in John 4, the woman at the well. And today, I want to go back to that story. And there's 2.5 verses just smack at the beginning that I want to pull out because I believe there's a profound lesson for us there. It's found in John 4, verses 3-5. And this is what it reads. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. And eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son. He had to go through Samaria. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Well, let me just tell you, Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria. What was being referenced here is that is what the Father had asked Jesus to do. And therefore, in obedience, he had to go through Samaria. But to be honest with you, it was a surprise to those that he was traveling with. Here is a map. And believe it or not, the shortest route from Jerusalem to Judea would be to go through Samaria. But Jesus didn't choose that route because he was lazy and wanted to take the shorter route. But most Jews, in fact, pretty much all Jews, would never take that short route. They would go the longer route and they would avoid Samaria at all costs. That longer route would be 23 miles longer, average a 2.5 to 3 day longer journey to return back home. But Jesus took the shorter route. Now, here's what's interesting about that. If you know anything about the historical context of the day, Jews did not go through Samaria. This was a socially taboo thing to do, and yet we find Jesus going right through the middle of it. In fact, we see him not just staying on the interstate highway that runs through there, he actually gets off an exit and talks to the locals. Now, why was this a big deal? Well, any pious Jew of the day wouldn't do this. There was incredible just tension between these people groups. There was deep levels of ethnic and religious hatred, and no Jew would be around these impure people. But Jesus did. He broke down a barrier. He not only got off the interstate, but he went in and he began a conversation, not just with any Samaritan, but with a Samaritan woman herself, who was caught off guard by this. He talked with a woman that had been through a lot, a woman that had experienced deep levels of trauma. And John makes it clear that that woman was even surprised, because the word of God tells us that Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. Therefore, she said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Well, let me tell you why. Because Jesus here is modeling for the future church what it means, the importance, the calling to go outside of our localized comfort zones. To go outside of our localized comfort zones. And so often we like to stay in our little comfort zone. But the kingdom of God advances when we take the courage to step out. And over, Jesus modeled this for us, breaking down barriers and bringing the living water to those outside of his realm. And before he ascended into heaven, he commissioned us, his church, to go and do the same. We read about that in Acts 1:8. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere." In Jerusalem, that makes total sense. This is the center of the Jewish community. In Judea, this makes sense. This is where Jesus grew up. This is where many of his friends and family were from. In Samaria, come again? What did you say, Jesus? Time out. In Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This commission, when it was first given, was shocking to the followers of Jesus. He had demonstrated this type of life. But what does all the world mean? There you have it, everywhere, even to the places that you didn't expect, even to the places that house the people that you don't really care to be around, even to those who are far, far away in the ends of the earth, to anywhere that there are humans created in the image of God, we are called to go, to send, to pray for. Salem Alliance is part of a global movement. We often call ourselves a global Acts 1:8 family talking through this passage. We're part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance that launched in New York City in the late 1800s, calling people to a spirit-filled, deeper life, experiencing the Holy Spirit's empowerment so that we could live lives that please God, but also imparting power for ministry into our lives. And this thing began to just gain momentum there in New York City, and believers from all over the city would gather together, and they began to concentrate on the power of sending people to the ends of the earth, to these different nations, and many answered that call. In fact, in just the first few years, over 180 people were sent to 12 countries by the turn of the century. Congo, Palestine, Philippines, Japan, and China were some of the first nations that were sent to. And people found Jesus, and churches began to be born. And one of the beautiful aspects about our movement is that the indigenous leadership was empowered right away, equipped, empowered, given authority and independence early on. And the result is the Alliance World Fellowship, which now is in over 88 countries with over 24,000 churches, and 7 million people are worshiping in Alliance churches today. The Alliance World Fellowship is still growing and it's strong. And I love it that it is the leaders in each of these nations. Each nation is an independent church. Even here on their website, just this week, they've got a new leader to lead the church there in Congo, Brazzaville, as well as here in Argentina. Ivan has now taken the new role of leading that movement. All of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. It takes a spirit empowerment in church family. We get to play a role in this. Many of you are regular givers to our Great Commission Fund. Maybe you are a consistent prayer warrior for those that we have sent here from Salem Alliance. As Travis mentioned, we support over 80 international workers around the world. Or maybe you gave to the Christmas offering because this concept of CAMA, Compassion and Mercy Associates, the relief and development arm of our movement, caught your attention. And so you gave. Well, today I just want to travel with you to five distant corners of our world to share with you a little bit of what God is doing. First, go with me to Manchester, England. Manchester is a city of about 3 million people, but the interesting thing is 1 in 3 people were not born in the UK that call Manchester home. The nations have come to Manchester. It holds some of the biggest universities in England. It is a powerful powerhouse where the nations have traveled and come together. One U.S. couple is partnering with an international church pastor who is from South America. They run this incredible coffee shop and community center called The Giving Tree. The international church meets in the back of this building in a small auditorium that they have there. The baristas at this place are trained by a woman from the Hong Kong Alliance Church who now calls this church her home. They're supported by the Chinese Alliance Church that's just around the corner, with support and prayer and volunteers. There's a family coming from Netherlands to join the ministry later this year. All nations reaching all nations together. This community center is right at the intersection of the Curry Mile that is heavily those from India, which is right next to the Arab neighborhood of the community, which is right across the street from one of the major universities. This is what the Alliance is doing, creating centers where game nights are happening, interfaith dialogues, and anything that builds community takes place. In over 25 cities, our Alliance workers that we've sent from the United States are partnering with local believers as well as colleagues from all these different nations with the Alliance World Fellowship. It's an exciting thing that is happening. In Kosovo, travel there with me, we have two centers in a small city that the Alliance is in. And they're run by couples that we have sent from here at Salem Alliance Church. Ashley and Julian White have arrived there and they're in the midst of language study and ministering at one of the centers. Grant and Dakota Shaw are ministering at the other, a CrossFit center, class-based fitness facility that provides community development and holistic health, developing skills of participants and building relationships that can carry the weight of the gospel. A coffee shop attached to their CrossFit facility is about to open. They are so excited. I was on the phone with them this week. And if you have supported Missio College, where all of these students went, you have played a role in bringing light to the country of Kosovo. It is a powerful thing, and a church plant is about to launch, and we are excited to see what God will continue to do there. In the aftermath of the Asia floods back in December, our Alliance teams responded because the gospel is more than a declaration. It is also a demonstration. According to the UN, in Indonesia alone, 150,000 homes were destroyed. Over 1 million people were displaced and 1,000 people lost their lives. The Alliance was there. Our CAMA teams responded with disaster relief. One team brought in their pumps and different machinery and have dug out the mud and debris of over 30 homes so that people could return. Food and voucher and clean water purification systems have been handed out and blessed over 1,200 families in the last 3 weeks. It's the tangible love of Jesus meeting people. A good portion of our Christmas offering is already on its way there to support these relief efforts, but also to help in the rebuilding. And it doesn't stop there. Our teams are working to make sure that flooding doesn't become a new reality for the people that live there. They are working in creation care related initiatives in partnership with the local fishing communities. They are helping plant mangrove forests that will support the fisheries livelihood while also controlling the erosion, disaster risk reduction, and long-term environmental resilience. They are literally handing out seeds to be planted while also planting the gospel seeds. If you travel with me south to Africa in the Sahel region where Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger find themselves, the Alliance has hundreds and hundreds of churches. They're everywhere. But here, terrorism is on the rise. And with it, food insecurity is worsening. Economic hardship and instability, corruption abounds. Millions of people have been displaced. Many of them are Christians that are struggling to just survive, but they're going to many of our Alliance churches that are in these regions that are experiencing the persecution. And a portion of our Christmas offering is also headed there to work with local indigenous Alliance aid organizations that are on the ground and navigating the complexities of the moment. They are empowering the local churches there to be missional in their response so that they can bring the peace of Jesus into these areas of chaos by offering prayer, bags of rice, and one of the things I hope our money is going to is drilling of new water wells in some new places where these displaced people can rebuild. Would you keep this region in particular in your prayers? Just because our news outlets neglect sharing how bad it is doesn't change the realities on the ground. So let's continue to pray for the countries of Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger. And finally, let's travel to the Middle East, where our church has partnered for over 20 years, Personally, as a person that got to live and minister there, I was blessed by this church in powerful, immense ways when I called this place home. You have sent so many people to the Middle East. You've supported projects like the Alliance Academy of Jordan and through pastoral care, sending multiple teams to different areas. But in one of the cities there, a movement has recently broken out. It's hard to believe, but streams of living water have come to the desert. In a city where there was little to no witness of who Jesus was 20 years ago, God is at work. There is a vibrant underground church that has formed from the majority religion. People are finding Jesus in powerful ways, including dreams and visions, and they are experiencing freedom and the Holy Spirit in profound ways. And they're being persecuted for it. They're being beaten, imprisoned, constant threats, economic blacklisting so they can't find jobs. But all of this is only increasing the growth and spurring on the movement. Over 110 people have been baptized in the last 2 years in this little city. It is a powerful thing, and we get to be a part of it. In fact, might the vibrant center of Christianity be coming full circle to where it all began? All of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. The world is big. And here in our city, we get to be the peace and the power and the presence of Jesus everywhere that we step. And we recognize that this big world is also coming to us. And we are responding in creative ways. And with our larger movement, we are collaborating to send our own to the distant lands. We're part of a global Acts 1:8 family. And today we celebrate that. We recognize that we are being called to step out of our personal comfort zones to share God's love and truth with all that we come in contact with. If you have been part of giving and engaging in global missions, I want to say thank you. And if you haven't, but something is stirring in you today, let me just give you two simple ways to get involved. One of those is I want to encourage you to check out CAMA, Compassion and Mercy Associates, the relief and development arm of our movement. You can go to commaservices.org. We'll put a QR code up in here. But on their website, they are often posting different blogs. And can I encourage you to see the work that they are doing, to pray for them, to continue to give to them? God is doing some amazing things through our CAMA people. The second is to give to the Great Commission Fund. Every story that I have shared today is supported through that fund. Many of you have been consistent givers to it. You can give through this QR code. It's on the offering envelopes when you give online, and there's a drop-down menu. It's one of the four choices that we encourage you and we want to offer for you to give. It's a powerful thing. The kingdom of God is advancing. Thank you to all of you who are playing a role. But don't just take that from me. Check out this video from many of the workers that you are supporting through prayer and finance.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.